Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of the Mountain Bikes Apart podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about anything mountain biking, from trail guides and skills up to equipment and all sorts of things you need when you get out on your bike. And as you know, if you've been listening regularly for the last few weeks, in fact more than a few weeks, isn't it? About six or seven episodes now we've done on a season around how to customise your bike, how to make sure your bike suits you the best way possible in terms of fit, in terms of types of components, in terms of the type of spec you might want for your level of riding. So as usual, I'm Colin Gray and I'm joined by Tom Bell. How are you doing, Tom?
Hey Colin, good to speak to you. How's things?
Very well, thanks. Very well. How's your week been so far?
Good, thank you. Yeah, enjoying the heat wave that we've got.
It is.
And like you were just saying before we came on, it's roasting across the UK, which we're not very equipped for. Yeah. We tend to moan about it a bit when it gets too hot, but it's certainly better than the lack of summer that we've had, I think, recently.
Yeah, I was moaning about it, wasn't I? I was just saying I have to close the windows so that we can record this, otherwise I get cars and seagulls and all sorts of stuff. But I'm now about to start sweating profusely. So
yeah.
If you're listening and you want that nice image in your head of me sweating away in the room, then yeah, just glad to put that there. But anyway, what have you been up to this week, Tom? Anything exciting?
I was actually up in Scotland at Glasgow on the Cathkin Braes Commonwealth Games mountain bike track. It was
perfect.
The British National Championships. So I was up there competing in that. And it was actually, at the time, it was freezing cold, windy and rainy. So it's nice that the weather's come around a bit now.
That sounds more like Scotland, of course.
But, yeah. It was, it didn't rain too bad, but it was definitely on the chilly side.
Yes.
A lot of people bundled up.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, it's a good trail, actually. I was cycled there once for a Scottish Cross Country Series race about a couple of years ago. It was the only time I've ever been there. But I enjoyed it. It's quite flat for a mountain bike trail, isn't it? Because it certainly is.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't a great deal of elevation apart from on the sort of far side where there's the main kind of climb. But again, it wasn't particularly steep.
Yeah.
I mean, the track they laid out for the national championships was very technical. It was scaring quite a few people, I think.
Really?
They obviously had the stuff. The main kind of features that they use for the Commonwealth Games, but also I think they threw in a few unexpected little bits as well, which with it sort of raining a little bit, it made it a bit greasy and a lot more tricky, certainly.
Yeah, I remember it being, there was definitely a few really technical bits. In fact, there was one downhill I remember coming up to the very first lap and actually stopping dead because it was like, what? and I think I managed it after the second lap. But yeah, I remember running down the first one and then looking back up at it so I could get an idea of what I was going to do the next time
around.
But yeah, it was slightly terrifying.
Yeah, I think a few people this weekend had that experience.
How did you get on at the race?
I finished sixth. So, you know, for the elite national championships, that was okay. That was good. Cool. That was good. I was happy, certainly. I got a really good start and then the chain came off the front ring right on the start loop. So I went from about fourth to last, which was not ideal, but had good legs on the day. So managed to work my way back through the field and, just made a mistake on the fifth of seven laps, to let sort of fifth place get away.
Really?
But yeah, I mean, all the guys that finished ahead of me have been to, you know, Commonwealth Games or the World Championships and Grant Ferguson, who won the race, is going to the Olympics in Rio. So was a pretty stacked field. So I'm happy to get sixth, certainly.
Good stuff. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, let's get to the topic for today, which is continuing the season. A little bit of a side route today. No, it's still related, but I think, maybe slightly different. And we're going to be talking about your gear. So what's in your bag? The sort of the connection here is about the tools, isn't it? It's about the adjustment. So we've talked a lot about your gears, about your brakes, about, you know, everything to do with your bike, and all of that can be adjusted to a great degree at home. Obviously, you want to set it up as best you can when you're at home, but there's going to be someone on the trail adjustments as well, in which case you need a multi-tool, you need you know, even repairs and stuff like that. You might need tire levers, chain tool, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk about the type of bag that you can use out on a trail to carry this stuff and what's going to be in your bag. Something I've talked about a while back in the podcast, a couple of years ago, but definitely worth revisiting, I think. So, ready to get into it?
Yeah, certainly, definitely. There's a lot to, I think, a lot to cover and a lot to chat about.
Good stuff. Okay, so the bag first. What kind of bag do you use?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of ways you can sort of carry all these spares and the tools that we're talking about. One of the, probably the most common that you see, especially sort of with people starting out, is the saddle bag, which you can get, you know, you can get expensive ones, but you can also get fairly cheap ones as well. And I think that's the sort of first way that people think of carrying those kind of basic spares and tools with them on the bike.
By a saddlebag, do you mean one of the little bags that goes underneath your saddle, like a wee straps around the seat post and attaches to the bottom of the saddle?
There are a few, you know, exactly. You can strap them, you know, around the rails of the saddle, or sometimes they have a kind of clip that fixes to the saddle, and then the saddlebag clips into there. There's a few sort of ways to mount it, but that's what I'm thinking. Typically would carry a multi-tool or an inner tube, and, you know, maybe some loose change and things like that.
Yeah, it gives you enough room for the basics at least. What would you tend to have in your saddlebag then?
Yeah, so basically they range in size. So some of them are, you know, very big and you know, rattle around quite a lot and look a bit cumbersome, but you can get some fairly small ones that sit quite nicely under the saddle. They're not too obtrusive, and generally in those ones you've only got enough space to kind of fit a inner tube and something to maybe blow the tire up with, so a CO2 canister, as well as everything else you might need to fix a flat, so a tire lever, maybe a little puncture repair kit, something like that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, my wee saddlebag, I tend to use that just for if I'm going for a ride around the close to the house. So I've just got away from the house and up to the forest, up the hill maybe. I'll just stick that on, and all I'll have is, an inner tube, like you say, a multi-tool, a couple of tire levers, and a repair kit. I've never really used the CO2 types, actually. I tend to put a pump in my pocket on my shorts. I've got a good pair of Endura shorts, that have a good back pocket that can fit a pump in. So yeah, that's quite handy. But that's about all you would
do. I think the pump is generally the best way to go. The CO2s, while they're convenient, they're not, you know, they're a fairly expensive solution if you go through them a fair whack. And they're not always super reliable. If you just sort of get it wrong and blow it into the air, you're stuffed, really. So even if you do take a CO2 canister and a little inflator head, it's always good to carry a pump as well as a bit of a backup, begs the question of whether you should just take a pump anyway.
I suppose it saves you, two, 3 minutes to pump up the tire?
Yeah, something like that, and a bit of effort. But it's not... It's probably best to take you can get some very small pumps nowadays that do a fairly good job of inflating a reasonably sized tire. You know, it'll get you home certainly. So
So I that's kind of the basics, isn't it? I would definitely only take that for a short ride. Like if I'm going out an hour, so I could get home by carrying the bike or pushing it at least if I had to. Because you can get away with most repairs with that. Well, not most. You can get away with a lot of adjustments, repairs with a multi-tool, and obviously the tyres, though, it's the most common, isn't it? But next up the level, though, is actually taking a bag, maybe for a longer ride, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what kind of options have we got there?
Whether that's like a regular backpack or a hydration pack, which is essentially a modified backpack where you can put, you know, a reservoir, a bladder in there with a little drinking tube. So that's that's a good way to carry your spares, as well as not have to kind of put a bottle and a bottle cage on the bike as well. And they've obviously got a lot more space, so you can pile some more stuff in there for as you said, you know, the longer type of ride where you're not a 10 minute walk from home.
Yeah. So what do you think is the next most important part, or most important tool? What would you take next?
Other than the stuff to you know, a multi-tool and to fix a flat tire, I mean, if the multi-tool doesn't have a chain tool on there, then definitely probably a chain tool is a good one to go just because I would say snap chains are not common, but it can really sort of snooker your ride a little bit, and it's probably the most common after these kind of other ones, like the tire going flat or something slipping if it's not tightened up and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's the one that, even though it's not that common, it's not a huge tool to take along with you, is it?
No, especially not in a backpack which is of you know, reasonable size.
So. I do have about two or three different multi tools. It's the kind of thing you go to the shop and you end up buying just because they're shiny new things to spend your money on. And you get some with decent little chain tools on them, but you get a lot where they have a chain tool, but actually it's next to useless, isn't it? I've tried using chain tools on a multi tool before and discovered that they just don't do a thing.
Me too, definitely.
So actually, if I'm on a decent ride, I tend to stick in my proper chain tool, like my standalone chain tool, which is a lot bigger, a bit heavier, but you know, it's not so heavy that you can't take it for a 2 or 3 hour ride.
No, exactly. And when you've got it on a backpack, if you've got some water in there as well, and it's already relatively heavy, then you probably won't notice that additional tool in there. And sometimes if you're riding some steep trails and that kind of thing, and you're used to having a backpack on, a little bit of weight on the back is sometimes a good thing in terms of just making you feel a bit, you know, getting the weight back on the bike and helping.
Helping
that kind of handling side of things.
Yeah, true. Cool. Okay, so chain tool, anything else? Have you ever taken any other tools along?
It's been a while since I've used a backpack, actually, but I guess going on from a regular pump, sometimes taking a shock pump, especially if you've, like we were talking about, just, you know, building your bike and customizing your bike for the first time, sometimes you won't always get your settings correct, and you'll five or 10 minutes into a ride sort of find that, you know, things aren't to your liking. So a shock pump to pump get the pressure right in the rear shock and the forks is sometimes a good bet.
Yeah. I think the stuff that there was once we did a coast to coast ride, which is about 4 days long. Mm-hmm. And that was when I started thinking about proper, like, being days away. Well, not days. I mean, you're maybe 4 or 5 hours away from villages and stuff. Like, this was north of Scotland, so it's really quite remote. Like, some places where it would have to be somebody walking to get to you, because it's along walking trails and stuff like that. There's no roads anywhere nearby. And that's when I started thinking properly about, you know, the stuff that balance between weight and things that can really screw up your your day. One of them, so we ended up taking derailleurs, actually, between us. We had at least one derailleur. There was three of us went. We had one spare derailleur, just in case that exploded, because at least two of us out of the three, I think, had an exploded derailleur at some point in our lives. We took the chain tool, obviously. I think we took at least one spare chain between us. Set of cables. Cables seemed a good idea, just because, you know, I've hardly ever had a snapped cable or anything like that for gears. But they're so light, so easy.
Yeah.
And I just thought that, you know, if they slip out and you start becoming frayed and stuff like that, it becomes a bit of a pain. So just for the sake of the extra weight of a cable, we ended up taking a few of them. But other than that, I think that was about it, actually. We didn't take any other big stuff. Had a pair of pliers between us, so that was just for snipping.
Oh, that was a good shout, I think.
For holding cables, you know, tightening them up if needed. But I think that was about it, really. So we had, that wasn't much weight, and even if it's just one of you, just yourself, there's not much extra weight in all of those bits to take if you're going on a much longer ride. But again, it's pretty much, it's like you'll need them one in 50 rides or something like that. So it's whether it was worth the weight at the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's really easy to get, you know, optimistic and think, oh, well, this has never happened before, or, you know, this never really happens. But it's Sod's law that it's going to happen when you're in your, you know, like you say, you're in the most isolated place, or in some bad weather and all that sort of stuff. And I think that's actually a really good idea. If you're doing something multi-day, is to take a spare derailleur and stuff like that, because, you know, generally speaking, compared to your multi-tool and that kind of thing that you take out on a short ride, you know, it's a fair amount of extra weight, but especially on a multi-day or a multi-hour, you know, a full day ride or a multi-day ride, that's certainly going to save your save your ass if you're out there in the middle of nowhere.
Saves you turning your bike into a fixie or a single speed and
exactly. Actually, thinking about it, a mech hanger would be another good thing to throw in there, just because, you know, that's the whole point of them, as we know, is designed to snap rather than the frame. So if that goes kaput, then certainly want a spare so you can put the rear derailleur back on and have some gears.
Yes, actually, I remember a story of a friend of mine who was on quite a long ride, did exactly that, bashed into a rock on a downhill, I think, still hours away from home, nowhere near roads or anything like that. Bashed a rock on his rear hanger and totally bent it. So it was just way out of place. And ended up taking it off, and he had to spend about an hour bashing it straight with a rock.
Yeah.
So he found another rock, a big rock and a small rock, bashing this hanger between the two to try and get it straightened up. Otherwise, he wasn't getting anywhere. But
exactly. Yeah, it's not ideal. Not what you want to be doing on what was supposed to be a nice ride.
Exactly. Yes. And in that situation, you can't. It is possible to turn your bike into a single speed, shorten the chain, and as long as you've got a chain tool, obviously. But it's not ideal.
No, exactly. And again, you're relying on having a chain tool and one that's not a sort of just for show on the multi-tool.
So what about other spares then? Anything else you take alongside the inner tubes?
Yeah, well, again, if we're talking about something where you are going to be quite isolated, and it's going to be a long time away from anywhere where you could sort of pick up some basic spares, then some brake pads are probably a good shout, just because, again, they're not heavy, they're not going to add too much weight, but on those really bad weather days, it's surprising how fast a pair of pads, especially on the front brake, can wear out. You know, if you've been a bit optimistic and you've got your organic kind of pads in there, and they can be gone within an hour or two if it's, you know, you're riding through really wet and gritty kind of terrain. So
that counts for hydraulic and disc brakes and V brakes, doesn't it?
Really? Yeah, either, I would say. And I know people that kind of do longer, 24-hour racing or something where it's quite a considerable amount of time, they'll often take spare brake pads, just because you're not going to be riding with much control if they go down to the back plate.
Yeah, the last time I did a 24-hour race, I had to change them halfway through, and that was mainly because we didn't even do 24 hours. It was a team of four, so I was only doing 6 hours.
Exactly. That's sometimes, like I said, all it takes is a couple of hours of not so nice weather, and they can be gone.
Yeah, it's the conditions, isn't it? And when you're some places in Scotland, I'm sure it's the same anywhere, everywhere else, somewhere else, that you get these areas where the mud is just a lot more abrasive. You get like this granite style of mud. There's certainly bits in the west coast of Scotland, up in the Highlands, you get these places where the mud afterwards, like you come back in and it dries off, and if you haven't cleaned your bike, you go back out to clean it the next day and it's actually glinting, because it's this granite that's just obviously worn down into mud, but it means it's basically like it's sandpaper,
it's like sediment,
or something like that. Yeah, that just goes through your bike and just absolutely wrecks it. That plays havoc with brake pads.
Exactly. It's that kind of stuff is the very worst.
We talked about chains earlier on. Do you ever take spare links or anything like that?
Yeah, sometimes I would usually take like a quick link, so the little connector pin that you can get for a variety of chains, just in case it's a slightly easier way to just fix a broken chain. But to be honest, taking a few extra spare sort of regular links is also good, just in case you have to take some out that have broken, and you know that results in the chain being too short, so you can just add those back in. That's definitely a good one, again, for those longer days.
The power links have saved me in a few different times. Just it's so easy, aren't they? You take out one bent link or something like that and stick that back in. It just clicks together rather than having to use the little...
Really easy. And to be honest, I sometimes find that they're a little bit stronger than the... I've never really been too confident with when you, you know, connect a chain normally and you drive a sort of pin in, because it's quite a fine art to get the pin, you know, not too far one side or the other. And it never fills me with too much confidence that there's only sort of half a millimeter of pin for, you know, holding the chain together. And and if you get that wrong, then the chain's just going to snap. So at least with the power links or the quick links that we're talking about, they kind of snap together in quite a confidence inspiring way. And they seem to be, I think, a little bit stronger sometimes than if you just drive a pin in.
Yeah, no, they could be things. You've mentioned zip ties in the past as well. They're handy little things to have, aren't they? What have you used a zip tie for before?
Yeah, I think just when things come loose, or, you know, sometimes I've seen people use zip ties when they've had a crash and their brake lever, the mount that fixes to the bar is broken. You can kind of zip tie things on. It's definitely not a good situation to be in, but if it's going to get you home and help you to hang on, then all the better. You can use them, like you said, if you have to make the bike into a bit of a single speed affair, then sometimes they can be used to kind of hold things in place. They're just generally a good all round little thing to throw in, I think.
Yeah, that weighs next to nothing as well.
Exactly,
And costs next to nothing.
You can often recycle them from packaging and boxes that you get, so you don't even have to buy them if you're particularly frugal.
I've seen people, in fact, I'm sure my instructor years back when I was doing my guiding qualification he swore by taking a little rolled off bit of gaffer tape with him everywhere. He said he'd used that so many times, like, you know, the kind of stringy duct tape. Super sticky, super strong. Never a whole roll or anything, nothing so heavy, but just like rip off 2 meters or something and wrap it around something else. And he always swore by that. He said he'd used it millions of times to get him out of sticky situations.
Yeah, I can imagine that's it's a bit more of a malleable zip tie, isn't it? Yeah, it's sort of you use it for kind of the same kind of things, but it would that's probably a really good tip, because they're a little bit more easy to wrap around different bits.
Yeah, just get like a little bit of plastic and wrap it, a roll around that instead. Yeah. That makes it nice and light, nice and small.
That's it. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I think that pretty much covers it. Anything else you want to cover? Anything else you stick in your bag before we finish off?
Well, in terms of, I mean, moving away from tools just slightly, so just some good sort of rules of thumb kind of things to throw in, are just, you know, basic things like a phone with some charge, so you can actually use it if you have to do. Some money, just because the amount of times, you know, you can go out there and the weather turns really hot, you know, you can run out of fluid quite quickly. So having some money just to pop into a shop if you get particularly dehydrated, or if things get a little bit more serious, you need to take a taxi or a train home and that kind of thing. just having some money on you is just a generally good idea, I think. And then probably a rain jacket on the other side of the spectrum if the weather turns a bit nasty, especially when you're ascending hills and getting up to fairly high elevation, it can, you know, the weather can come in quite quickly. So having some kind of rain jacket or an extra layer is probably a good idea if you're taking a backpack. That is, it'd be quite difficult to bung that into a saddlebag, but
for sure. Cool. All right, no worries. Well, let's tie up there. Thanks for listening, as usual. It'd be good to hear, actually, from everybody out there. If you're listening and you have anything in your bag every single time, someone you swear by sticking in your bag, it's got you out of a tight spot in the past, it'd be great to hear about it. You can always email into colin@mountainbikesapart.com or tweet me at colinmcgray, or you can get me on Snapchat at the podcast host if you want to send a message that way too. Tom, you are by Tom Bell, I believe?
That's correct, yeah. That's on Twitter, yeah. should. I do have a Snapchat account myself, actually, but I haven't used it for ages. Maybe it's time to fire that back up.
Yeah, I've been using it for logging a lot of stories and sort of background how we make all the podcasts and everything like that. So do a bit of mountain biking stuff on there too, actually.
Ah, cool. Every time cool. I'll check it out, certainly.
Yeah. but yeah, it'd be good to hear from anybody. If you're out there, you've got someone in your bag, you've got little tips and stuff that you take with you that's saved you, then do send it in. It'd be great to hear from you. Otherwise, let's tie up there. Good to speak to you again, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Colin. Good to chat through that. And I'll speak to you on the next episode.
Indeed. All right, talk to you soon.